Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us tonight. Now, we've got a few coming down your way tonight. We're going to continue on the divine aspects of the temple tonight. No different. We're going to give you the reasons why that the divine purpose of the temple was erected in the first place. A lot of people don't know why that God built a temple to dwell in. Well, we're going to get into the scriptures and show you some of the aspects of the divine purpose. And we ask you to call a friend and tell them that the shepherd's call is on the air. Praise Yahweh. We're going to give you more truth per hour than any radio show that is on the air today. Praise Yahweh. We'll bring you scriptures and things that you have never heard, kept a secret from the foundation of the world. We're going to expound them to you. Bring them to you, press them down, and run them over on your behalf that you could be fairly furnished all good works. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let us get started in Jeremiah chapter 7. While you're getting there, in Jeremiah 7, chapter 7, verse 10 and 11, I want to turn to Matthew and read you how that they have translated in the book of Matthew quite incorrectly. They just left out part of the whole sum of the matter. And what they leave out, we want to bring in, praise Yahweh. We wouldn't want you to miss out on any good thing. And of course, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower, and we certainly wouldn't want you to remain ignorant about what that name is for and who it's to, praise Yahweh. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, and the Messiah, Yahweh sure, went into the temple of God and cast all of them out that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we go back to where that text is taken from, and that will take you back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, where it's recorded that he was quoting from, verse 11. Is this house, which is called by my name. See, they didn't mention in 21, 12, and 13 that the scripture is that the house that is called the house of prayer. They changed it, house of prayer, to from my name, my house of from my name. Now, is that significant? Yes, it is. The house was a place to offer up prayers, but the name that sanctified the house was greater than the house. So then, it has been changed by the translators. And it is very significant, we believe, and we're going to show you why, in the divine purposes for the temple. Now, let me read verse 10. Come, you come, my people, that you need to, verse 5, thoroughly amend your ways and your doings. If you thoroughly execute judgment between the man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your own hurt, then will I cause you to dwell safely in this place, in the land that I give your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? You come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name. Look at that. The house that is called by his name. Now, you know, I'm amazed at all of the church houses across America, and for the world for that matter, that is called by every conceivable name the old Yellow Creek this, the old Brown Creek that, the old Yipsing under this and Yipsing under that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm amazed that they would want to leave his name off the temple. The only name given for a Bible, we have salvation, and they won't even put it. They go inside and say they preach it. But you see, therein lies the whole purpose of leaving it off. If they was to put it on, then they would have to acknowledge his name. By putting up a false name, they have to stand responsible for it. So therefore, they put up their little John Henry Hamill, or the old Yellow Creek this, the old Yellow Creek that, and in this house, which is called by my name, it has become a den of robbers. In your eyes, behold, even I have seen it, saith Yahweh. Behold, I have seen it, saith Yahweh. It has become a den of robbers. Now, what? Robbing what? Robbing the people from the truth. Placing other gods and other names before the people rather than the true divine covenant name. Now, let's get into the aspects of the temple, and let me give you some purposes. Now, in the place where his name was recorded, that is in the temple, there were four divine aspects inside the temple to the rear of the temple. Now, the temple was aligned, believe it or not, it was aligned east-west. Ain't it strange that it was not aligned north-south? The temple was aligned east-west. And in the west, remember the rising of the sun where the Father's face, as it demonstrates his glory, raises in the east but sets upon his people in the west. Now, if you go west from Jerusalem, you come to America. Isn't that amazing? That the sons of Jacob, and on their long trek out of the land of Palestine, the little desert area, where he actually miraculously turned that little place into a place of milk and honey, but it soon, the population of Israel outgrew the land of Palestine, and so then the Father had a divine plan to scatter his holy people throughout the earth, and particularly into the west, and that's why the temple was aligned west. Now, there were four pieces of furniture in the holiest of holies that I want to describe to you in the different aspects of the temple tonight. Number one, the ark. Number two, the cherubim. Number three, the veil. And number four, the mercy seat, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh of the holy place where his name is recorded. Now remember, he sat and communed with Moses in the first temple, actually in the tent. The Father spoke off the mercy seat as he sat in his divine glory, covered with a cloud, and Moses and all the other priests could not stand to look upon this cloud. When Moses went into the mountain and spoke with him for 40 days and 40 nights, you know that he had to wear a veil. This is part of the temple furniture, the veil, the covering. And so it describes what the law was weak in the flesh. No one can look upon his flesh and live, or look upon his face in the flesh and live because of his divine glory. Just like you cannot look upon the sun in a flesh body without tearing up your eyes and being absolutely blind for a duration. That is the type of our Almighty One, Yahweh Yeshua, in the flesh body. Now, when he changed his glory in the 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, Peter, James, and John were sore afraid, because they couldn't look upon his glory. The Bible said his robe of righteousness, the white, turned to glistening white, that they were afraid to look upon him. And this is the divine glory. When he takes upon himself the divine glory that was his before the world begun. Remember, he said, Holy Father, now I have kept these that you have given me out of the world in your name. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit become a divine purpose upon the earth to execute judgment within the temple of God, and judgment must begin at the temple of God. So then, the first four aspects, meaning the veil, the cherubim, the ark, and the mercy seat, these are the things that are located within. Now, these are four. Now, there happens to be four divine aspects, dimensions of purpose in the name, four expressions of his divine glory. And the fifth, the Word made flesh, become the grace of God that dwelt among us from the holy temple upon high. So then, let's look at Shiloh. It was a central city in the time of Joshua. This was the resting place for the ark and the first place chosen in Israel in northern Galilee for the divine name and the temple and the furniture that I just listed. Now, until the time of Samuel the prophet, it was the place where the tabernacle of Yahweh was settled. The ones that would look at the scriptures in Joshua 18 and 1 through 10, and then in 22 verses 9 through 13, Judges 18 through 31, you'll find that the house of God was at Shiloh. Judges 21 and 21, 1 Samuel 1 and 1 in verse 24, and chapter 3 verse 21 is that God appeared unto Samuel at Shiloh as a young child. Now, Samuel was a prophet that called upon the name of Yahweh. Now, it was at Shiloh where the Ark of the Covenant was taken captive by the Philistines after the presumptuous act of Eli's priestly sons of 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. They turned the house of Yahweh at Shiloh into a Baal encampment by prostituting themselves as priests, because across the border in the land of the Philistines, they were worshiping Baal and they were multiplying with great gods and great giants and great men and great warriors, and Israel envied their enemies and sought for the priest of Baal to prostitute themselves out in the temple of Yahweh. Yes. And no wonder the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, speaks about the fornication of the priest and the lying prophets that actually disgraced the holy name of Yahweh. That's why that Yahweh, Yeshua, came into the temple in Matthew 21, verse 13, 12 and 13, and he whipped up the money changers and them that had desecrated the house that was called by his name. Isn't it amazing that here we have the living embodiment of a God in the flesh? Literally, ladies and gentlemen, that was actually God in the flesh walking for 33 years, which is nothing more than a degree of holiness. The 33rd degree. The Masons used this 33rd degree. David reigned 33 years on the 33rd parallel upon the earth. All these are significant, and all these are for reasons that goes into the magnanimous mysteries of the inner teachings of the temple, where sometimes we gather in private and we teach on these amazing formulas and mathematical equations where they bear fruit to the understanding of the disciples. that would come to him, and the Bible said those that would come to him, he would in no wise cast out. It was at Shiloh that the ark was taken captive by the Philistines. Remember, it was the Philistine wise men after God began to punish the Philistines for setting the ark next to Dagon, their god. Remember when they would come into the holy temple, the Ark of the Covenant, this magnificent piece of acacia wood, which represents the flesh man, wrapped and covered both sides with gold, which represents the Father and the Son, and the Eternal Spirit that was manifest from the Ark. It began to plague the Philistines, and they began to inquire of the wise men on what to do, and the wise men said, send the ark back to the land of Israel. And of course, that's where that it was sent to. And the Bible said the oxen came to rest upon a great stone inside the border of Israel. Now, the stone symbolizes the ark coming back to the place of its name. The Father chose for the oxen to stop upon this large stone where this precious relic sat, and there the ark came to rest, just as it was in the days of Noah. The ark of safety rested upon dry ground, upon a holy place, and just as Moses was instructed when he saw the burning bush, when God spoke to him in the Ark of Covenant of Mercy and said, pull off your shoes, for the ground you stand on is holy. And ladies and gentlemen, the holiest of holies was a place that was reverenced by the high priest once a year, going in and offering up the sins first for himself and then for the sins of the others. But we have a high priest who, without sin, entered in once and for all into the eternal, set upon the mercy seat, pulled back the veil, and asked the sons of Yahweh to enter in boldly with the name in their forehead to dwell with him. For the whole family in heaven and in earth is in this magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. Now, it seems that the name of Shiloh had prophetic significance also, and it pointed to the Messiah who would bring rest according to the place of rest, for everywhere that his name was recorded, he gave them rest round about as long as Israel loved him and kept his commandments and went not after other gods. And so in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it is written, take my yoke, the ark of his name, upon you. Learn of me. My burdens are light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, he said. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, they refused to walk in. They did not want the name of Yahweh called upon them for various false reasons. Number one, it was too holy, too sacred to utter. This is a fabricated lie of the demonic demons of the Baal court of the Pharisaical priest of Baal. Today, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have the name of Yahweh in your forehead or embraced upon you through water baptism and remission of sin, you're going to have gate problems when you stand before him, and that name, he searches you, and that name is not found within you as the holy anointing name of Yahweh. And so then, God must dwell in his temple, and if his name is not called upon you, then God does not dwell there, because God will not dwell, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, God will not dwell in an unclean temple. Now, let's look at the other aspects. We first find his name as he came to his people in Shiloh. Now, the name in the tabernacle. Much is spoken about God's dwelling place as the tabernacle of the Lord. Generally, it is spoken of as the tabernacle of Moses. Remember, it was nothing but a tent, but how magnificent this tent was. And the Levites were chosen with no inheritance to bear the burden of the ark, yet the sons of Joseph were to take it on the journeys. These were the birthright people, and the Levites bare the curtains and the veil that surrounded the ark, and the sons of Joseph carried the ark with the stone of the birthright inheritance within the covered veil when they traveled. Isn't that amazing? Remember, it was the cloud that overshadowed the house of Israel. Do you know why the cloud was there? Because it protected the veil from those, or the ark that was covered in the veil, from those who would seek to gaze upon it, or the enemy was to lay eyes on the holy, sacred resting place of Almighty Yahweh, because the temple was a direct fact and a reason that God Almighty himself dwelt among his people. And he was sitting upon the ark and the mercy seat. Isn't it amazing that God, the Spirit, the communing Spirit, sat upon the mercy seat, and that he communed with Moses and the high priests that were authorized to come in before him, Joshua being the other one. And as they came and went, praise Yahweh, that the Holy Father, where his sanctuary was, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto you, and I will bless you, according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 24. Mark it down. In all places where I record my name. Is his name recorded in your temple? Remember, you are the temple of God, and if you do not have the name of Yahweh recorded in your temple, now you say, well, Pastor Buddy, how can I get the name recorded? You must repent, number one, of your sins, and be washed in water, and recorded in the name of Yahweh. The angelic beings with the inkhorn are there. Symbolically, they are there to write your name down, and this happens in a spirit realm, unbeknownst or unseen to man. It seems like it's an act of foolishness. But ladies and gentlemen, if you could see the divine aspects of the glory that surrounds the Shekinah surrounding of the act of ritual baptism in water in the great name of Yahweh, you would leap for joy and you would run into the name of Yahweh according to Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of Yahweh is a strong tower and the righteous run into it. Ladies and gentlemen, if I wasn't baptized in the name of Yahweh tonight, I would get up and go and find someone worthy, capable, and qualified to baptize me in the magnanimous, magnificent, almighty, powerful, loving, kind, righteous name of Yahweh. I would let the sun go down upon my sins, because your sins are forgiven, according to John chapter 3, for his name's sake. And unless you're born to the water and spirit and his name recorded in the temple, you are the temple, and thus Yahweh must be recorded through the name. Now he said, go into all the world and teach the disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father. Now the Father's name must be recorded in your physical temple. You must repent an act of obedience, surrender, and go down in the great, powerful name of Yahweh. Oh my, how loving, kind, how wonderful the truth is when we know it in its simplicity. Praise Yahweh. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. I'm coming back to give you the other two aspects. As we've covered two, we're covering the four of the divine Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. Hey. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. We're talking about the divine purpose of the temple. Now, when God comes into your life. When I say God, I'm using the term very lightly here. because I want you to know that God is a generic term. There are many gods. Our Heavenly Father is not a god. There's no god beside him, and we don't know any other. Praise Yahweh, because there's no other gods. These are figments of a man's imagination. So we don't have a God, we got a Father. So when I say God, I say it for your sake that you would know in general terms of what I'm talking about. So let's look at the preparation before God comes to the temple. Now, first of all, there has to be materials to build a temple. Now, your flesh body is where he wants to dwell. He don't dwell with temples made by hands. Now, he tried it. It didn't work. It was a short substitute until, as they were kept shut up on the law, but it was actually metaphors of teaching. He was trying to show by the divine principles of the temple erections that he was actually preparing himself to dwell in you, not a place of stone and mortar. Isn't it amazing that God would come into our temple? But it says again in 1 Corinthians 3 that he will not dwell in an unclean temple. Now, would you want to move in a dirty house, a filthy house, an abominable house? Or would, if you knew that the King of England was coming to your home tonight, as modest probably as it is, would you want to speak and span it, clean it up, get it ready for all the royalty that would to come to your house, just like Zechariah when he was in the sycamore tree? And remember, the sycamore tree grows around water. And so the tree was the symbol of cleansing. So he said, today, Zacharias, I will come to your house. It was a symbol that this was a clean place, so Yahweh will not dwell in an unclean temple. So then it takes the materials that are furnished. Now, remember, it was not David that furnished materials, but it was a man by the name of Hiram. Isn't that strange? Hiram was a Melchizedek priest. He was not a Levitical priest, and so therefore the substances must come by grace and not by works. And so these were donated or furnished by Hiram as a charitable gift to David, representing that the materials must come through charity, and charity begins at the house of God. And if you have not charity, you have nothing. For works will not, man's works, man's cleanse and man's doings, you must follow the prescriptions of the scriptures, and so the materials must be prepared for, as it was in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17. Hiram supplied the materials in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 8 through 18. Read it for yourself there. Where Hiram, the Melchizedek order, from the Melchizedek line. Isn't it amazing that the Melchizedek, they supplied the materials to build the temple of David, and that David only assembled the materials, a type, as he represented the Father, and Solomon, representing the Son, built the temple as the Son himself would manifest to build the temple. And so then, God himself is the primary fulfillment in the temple that is built today, as in John chapter 2, verse 21. He declares himself to be the temple of God. Here then, the temple of God, embodied in flesh, come and dwelt among us, according to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word God was made flesh and dwelt among us. So God tabernacled, proving that God, the eternal Spirit, for God is a Spirit, according to John 4:24, that God could tabernacle in man. And Christ was the prototype. Now he brings many sons, for now God is dwelling in his sons. What? The book of Romans chapter 8, verse 9. What? Know ye not that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, proving that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, and if you don't have it dwelling in you, you're none of his. Oh, it's amazing. It's wonderful that the name of Yahweh is to indwell in the temple prepared. First of all, you must have the materials, that is, the flesh must be prepared to receive the indwelling. Now, you must be washed in pure water in the name, and then the name is recorded in your spirit being, and now you become cleansed and Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. Now, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're to cleanse yourself with water or with fire. Both are cleansing agents. Doesn't matter which one is first or second. You say, well, Pastor, well, that don't make any sense. Well, the Bible said he won't dwell in an unclean temple, and if it ain't washed and sanctified with the fire, you see, when Elijah built his temple upon Mount Carmel, he sanctified it with water as he poured the 12 barrels of water, symbolizing the justice of salvation through water baptism, as he poured it out into the trench that he dug. It took 12 barrels of water, and then the fire dried up and consumed the sacrifice. And our God is Yahweh, a consuming fire with the four divine aspects of the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the ark, and the cherubim, the veil, and the mercy seat. Isn't it wonderful that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower, and it's recorded in your temple, and these are the divine aspects of his holy name? Are you prepared to meet God? If you're not, then you need to call Pastor Buddy here tonight and make your election and call him sure. Come into the name of God, as God's name will come to your temple, they that look for him without sin, the second time unto salvation. He will appear through water baptism and the Holy Ghost and fire. John 3:5, except you're born of water and the Spirit, you can nowise enter into the kingdom of heaven, because you would be an unfit or an unclean sanctified vessel to appear in the presence of God and set in his temple. And everyone that comes into his presence to set in his holy temple on high in the New Jerusalem must be washed by the water and the word, and sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, with the witness of Yahweh's Spirit within you. And you will testify of him when he comes, praise Yahweh. And so then, those that would live without sin, remember, when the seed remains in you, you cannot sin because you are born of God. What he did to the temple at Jerusalem for his namesake was cleanse it. But notice, he didn't stay in it after he drove out the demonic demons that had defiled the temple place. After he drove them out, he himself went into the wilderness, and there he erected the temple, proving that it's not a temple made with hands that you are to worship in. And now we've got these believers all over the earth saying, well, God's going to come back and set in the temple in Jerusalem, and the Jews are going to build him a temple. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a lie. It is a misconception. It is an error on the wicked. And those that are deceived by it because they're trying to take some carnal spin into a flesh and blood approach, where that they can get into a mortar and brick and stone building, and there look at God when God is within you. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. I dare you to read it. It'll change your whole outlook on where to look for Christ. Remember, he said, they'll say, oh, he's sitting over here in the desert. Run over there and see him. We've got the Pope, you know, he resides in the Vatican. It's a sovereign territory within the land of Italy, that little boot that sticks out there. And he, as the vicar of God, sits in the temple as God. And they're hoping one day that Christ will return and sit in the Vatican. Hogwash. Well, we've got the temple of the Mormon Church, and they erected the great Salt Lake edifice up there, hoping that Christ will come back to Salt Lake City, Utah, and sit in that mortar and brick edifice. That won't happen either. Now we've got those that are plotting. Now this one is the one that's really going to get them all, because the whole world's going to beat a path to this door when they drive out and kill and mangle and steal the land of the Palestinians in the land of Palestine. And they're working on that today as I speak, killing innocent children, Christians condoning it. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to be sick to our stomach. That's what's going on there. And then they will build a temple for Satan. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I thought Christ was going to come back and sit in the temple. Nowhere in the scriptures can you ever read that God will sit in a stone temple. Nowhere. It would destroy or defeat the very nature of the gospel. It just ain't so. And yet many people believe a lie and they're damned. The Bible talks about Satan coming to that place and sitting in that temple, and all the world will worship him, whose names ain't on the Lamb's book. If you've got the recorded Christ in you, the hope of glory, you know he ain't sitting over in that temple when he's in yours. No living embodiment. You are the incorporate Christ. Christ in you and Christ in me makes one complete. I in you and you in me. Ladies and gentlemen, should we look for another? Remember when John, in his test of faith, and he said, you go tell John, as he inquired from prison, just before they lifted his head from his shoulders, when John inquired, art thou the Christ? Or should we look for another? And the message back to him was, you go tell John what you see and hear here. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached, and the truth is reigning supreme, and I am that I am. I am come in my Father's name, and if another comes in his own name, him we will receive. They'll receive anybody except the recorded name of the Eternal Father. They don't want that one. They'll cast that name to the ground and prosper because they've got these fake Baals, these fake lords, and these fake Hejuses that have been introduced after the fact. After the name of Yahweh was rejected, they put in a false name, and the name of Yahweh became the rejected name, and the stone the builders rejected, according to Matthew 21:42, the same has become the head of the corner, whether you like it or not. And that's why I don't sit in bell boxes, and that's why I don't worship Jesus, and that's why I'm not a party to all of these evils that seem right. Because the Bible said there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. And from such, turn away. Now, the name of the temple. That temple must be erected as the second application of the church, which is spoken of as the temple of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6:16, God has his temple now in the church. God has recorded his name in the church. And what is his name? Proverbs 30:4, if you can tell. And it ain't Jesus. It never was Jesus. It never will be Jesus. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is the four divine aspects of the temple purpose, and as it is stated in 1 Corinthians, you are the temple of God. Isn't it wonderful that you would become the temple that would dwell or let be a habitation for God's Spirit? God Himself in you. God is a Spirit. John 4:24. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's the courts of His praise. You are the embodiment of His praise. You see, there's one thing that God can do, and that's praise Himself. He created you to praise Him. Let everything that has breath praise Yahweh. Now, the breath, not the breath of life, people, but the breath of eternity, the light beings who transfer the energies of light and sound, because upon the day of Pentecost, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. The first evidence of the Holy Ghost coming is a sound. And the Bible said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost tonight? Do you have the eternal truth? Are you made out of the proper substance or the material donated or charitably given by the grace of God? You are God's handiwork. You are His husbandry. You are His children from the foundation of the world. You were chosen before, and your name's on the Lamb's book. Make sure it stays there, and if it's not blotted out, you can hear Him say in that day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many, or enter into the joy prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because you have been faithful over a few things. You've kept the faith, and you haven't denied my name." His name recorded within you. If you don't have it, you can't go. If you don't have it tonight, call Pastor Buddy. We'll change that for you. Praise Yahweh. There's something that you need to do. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the question was asked. 2:38, it was answered, and it sure wasn't Jesus there, ladies and gentlemen. It was Yahweh. The rejected name that didn't get in the scriptures is the one that you need. The one you got in there is the one you don't need. That's the one who deceived you. And the Bible says the world wondered after the beast with a name of blasphemy. And it may be one of the most sweetest names you've ever heard. It may be one of the most beautiful names you've ever heard. It may be on the mouth of literally millions of Christians. But the Bible describes it as a name of blasphemy that would deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a great mystery in the Scriptures. And if you can't figure it out, you'll never get to heaven. If you will, then you must take upon His name and let His name be recorded in your temple. So then we'll see you tomorrow night, live and direct on Truth Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call a friend and tell them to join in our adventure with the Shepherd's Call Truth Radio Network. Yahweh bless you.
Praise Yahweh.